Thank you, choir. Thank you, orchestra. Wow, what a wonderful time of worship that we've had together. Maybe one of those Sundays where we should just give the invitation now. But you're expecting a little more, so we'll not do that at this particular point. But Happy New Year. Welcome to 2015. I'm so glad that you're here today. I don't have the opportunity to speak to the entire congregation very often, so allow me just to share a few personal words as I begin. My wife Ruby and I would like to thank everyone for welcoming us as we've come to serve alongside you here at First Baptist. For those of you who are new, or maybe you're a guest today, I joined the ministry leadership team in August of this past year. So 2014 brought a lot of change for us personally. Besides adding a son-in-law to our family this past year and seeing our daughter move off and be out on her own, we moved from Houston, where we had been the past 26 years, here to Louisville. So we have a new house, new jobs, new friends for both of us. In November, Ruby finally found a job similar to the one that she had in Houston, so we're thankful to God for that. She's working as a marketing associate for a firm in the Irving area. And I begin my work as executive pastor here at First Baptist. If you've ever wondered, what does an executive pastor do? Well, let me just share briefly what I've been doing the first 4 months. A big part of my job involves overseeing the ministry team and working with the other ministers. So I've been getting to know them, their ministry assistants, and trying to learn as much about their ministries as possible. For example, it just so happens that I really enjoy singing. I loved the choir this morning. I wanted to be up there. I was actually singing on the front row. So Ruby and I both joined the choir. That was one of the first things that we did when we came here. We sang in our first Sounds of Christmas this past December. Singing in the choir allowed us to meet new people, make friends, get to know Kelvin especially, and see Missy and the music and worship ministry team here at First Baptist. Jimmy Bryan, he leads our missions ministry, and he and I worked together, and he lined up a service project for the entire ministry leadership team during the one day in December. We volunteered at Christian Community Action. Again, that's a new thing that I had to learn about. We worked in the pantry. We worked in the Christmas store. Ruby and I also worked in Operation Christmas Child. That was something that Susan was lining up. And we went to the distribution center one Thursday evening alongside many of the deacons, as well as many other church family members. That was a great experience. I'm enjoying the Men's for Him ministry events. I've discovered that this men's group eats a lot. They have breakfast, they have lunches, they even have an occasional catfish dinner. By the way, guys, our next men's ministry breakfast is this Saturday at 8 a.m. It's in the 210 student ministry room, and all men are welcome. This is your invitation to join us for this free breakfast. Our office suite on the east end sits down right underneath the student ministry gathering room. So I've become very familiar with the student worship led by Rob Peterman, and especially on Wednesday afternoons. They practice most of the afternoons, and let's just say that everybody in that office down there, we feel like we have a front row seat as we listen to the music that's going above us. Jeremy Taylor, our student minister, he had me fill in for him one Wednesday evening. I got to lead the Bible study for our teenagers. That was a great experience for me. I enjoyed seeing our students and getting to know and visit with the leaders in our student ministry. The executive pastor also works with the Bible study and discipleship leadership in our church. That would include fellow ministers like Susan and Julie Hammer and Michael Porter and Wayne Cotton, as well as I work with the lay leaders of our church. My goal is to visit all of our adult Bible study groups within the first 6 months of me being here, so I've got 2 months left to go. I've taught or visited in all of the 8 o'clock and 9:30 Bible study groups, and I still have about 5 more adult classes to make in the 11 o'clock hour. Some of the various other things that I do include meeting with the long-range planning team, the leadership council, and a few other committees of our church. Our long-range planning team has been meeting during the fall, and we are very near making a representation or making a report to you about what we're going to present for the next 3 to 5 years. Hopefully that will come even later this month. The bottom line is I'm really enjoying getting to know my new church family. Thank you for welcoming us. And I really appreciate our pastor, Stephen Hatfield, giving me this opportunity to share with you this morning as he and a group from our church are visiting the Holy Lands this week in Israel. As we move into 2015, Christmas is in our rearview mirror. The celebration of the birth of Jesus is past, but it's not too far removed. That's why I've chosen a passage from Matthew 2 for our sermon today. It's after the birth of Jesus, but not too far removed. If you want to find that passage in your Bible, it's in Matthew chapter 2. As you're looking for that, be thinking about the answer to this question. What brought you joy this past Christmas season as we celebrated the birth of Christ? What brought you joy? I'll mention a few possibilities. Perhaps it was the music, the carols of Christmas. I already mentioned that we enjoyed participating in Kringle this December. Kelvin and Holly did an incredible job of writing that, composing the music, and then bringing that story to life. And I thoroughly enjoyed the Christmas carols that were a part of our daily Bible reading. I don't know whether you listened to the carols as you read your daily Bible reading with us, but I thoroughly enjoyed the Christmas carols. So maybe the highlight of your Christmas was the music. And if it was, that's a good choice. If not the music, well, perhaps it was selecting the gifts that you exchanged this year. Some of us, including me, we just go buy our presents, while others use their skills and their talents to actually make the gifts that they give. Like my next door neighbor, I saw him at work nearly every night during November and December in his garage workshop making gifts out of wood to give people. I'm sure that his gifts brought special meaning to everybody he gave them to. What brought meaning for you at Christmas? Maybe it was simply the opportunity to spend quality time with family or with friends. I spoke with one of our church members this week who got to spend several days with his grandchildren over the Christmas holiday. They're young. And he said, "This was priceless to me. I grew so close to my grandchildren over these past few days. I may never be able to have a time and be that close to them again." Maybe family or friends is what brought you joy this Christmas. Well, maybe for you, it was just the entire month-long celebration. You know, there are people like that. They just like to celebrate all the time. My daughter's one of them. She just likes to celebrate her birthday all month long. So for people like that, well, the Christmas celebration is just like a celebration all month long. It's the anticipation. It's the getting things ready. It's doing different activities. They find a way to celebrate every day. Maybe that was the highlight of your Christmas. Or maybe it was the decorations. Our neighborhood certainly took on a new look with so many people putting up lights on their houses and in their yards. My wife and I, we walk each night, and so we tried to take a different route every night just so that we could see different parts of the neighborhood and see the lights that were on in the neighborhood. I loved the variety, and I especially loved to see that so many houses put some kind of nativity set as a part of their Christmas decorations. Or maybe the highlight for you was the Christmas Eve service. It's always meaningful to gather with family and with church family to come and to hear the simple Christmas story as it's read this year by children, and then the songs and the candles that go along with it. Maybe that was the highlight of your Christmas season. What brought you the most joy? You know, I know there are for some that it's simply the fact that Christmas is over. I heard one person tell me a few years ago that he said his favorite lights of Christmas are the tail lights of his family leaving after the long extended stay with them. I think he only meant that he just wanted to get back to normal, back to the routine of life. So for some folks, they're just happy that Christmas is over. For those of us who call ourselves Christians, what should bring meaning in the annual celebration of Christ's coming? Well, let's look at some early Christ followers as seen in Matthew 2. The New American Standard Version of the Bible says, calls this title, The Visit of the Magi. That's the title. This word magi, it's a little hard to translate from Greek into English. It's where we get our English word magic, but that's not what these guys were. They were not magicians as we know them to be. They were wise men. They were philosophers. They were teachers, maybe even priests. They were from the East, perhaps from Persia, or maybe even as far away as modern-day Yemen. They had come a long way. Many people of that day, they were stargazers. We would call them astronomers. They gazed into the night sky to see the glories of heaven and then to understand the meaning from all the patterns of the stars. So follow as I read, beginning in verse 9. After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. So what was it that brought these wise men, these Magi, joy? What was the highlight of this first Christmas celebration? Well, verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So was just seeing a star? Is the star what brought them joy? Well, they were astronomers after all. Seeing something new and different in the night sky? Well, if you're an astronomer, that would do it for you. Or maybe it was seeing the star again. Perhaps the reason they had to stop and ask for directions was that the star had gone away or was no longer visible to them. So it says, when they saw the star again, they rejoiced. Maybe it was seeing the star again is why they rejoiced. Or maybe they rejoiced because the star now pointed them to the place where Jesus was. Verse 9 says, the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. Maybe the Magi rejoiced because they knew where to go. The star was pointing the way. Another possibility is that the Magi were rejoicing because their journey was now finished. They'd made it. If you've ever traveled with me, or if you ever decide to go on a trip with me, you're going to know that I want to get where I'm going. I don't like the serendipity routes along the way. I'm not looking for the side shows. I'm not enjoying the trip until I get there. I want to know where I'm going, and I want to get there, and I usually have a schedule for when I want to get there. Now, we can stop as long as it's a planned stop. But my joy of Christmas is getting there. I mean, not of Christmas. My joy of a vacation is getting there. I want to be where I said I was going to be, maybe even faster than when I said I was going to be there, if you had to know the truth. So maybe the wise men were like that. They were just rejoicing because they finished their journey. They were there. Or maybe it was that they finally saw the child. Who doesn't love a baby? Anybody know that baby? That's Hayes Allison Porter. She was born on Monday, December 29th, to Michael and Chris Porter, our young adult minister. She and baby are just doing fantastic. I believe the little baby was 8 pounds, 3 ounces, but don't hold me to that. I'm doing pretty good just getting the name down. Who doesn't love a baby and a safe arrival? Who can't rejoice with that? What was it that brought these wise men joy? Well, verse 11 says, when they saw the child with Mary, his mother, they fell to the ground and worshiped him. So maybe the highlight for these magi on this very first Christmas was worshiping the one who was born King of the Jews. As they worshiped him, verse 11 says, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Magi had brought these gifts with them over these many, many miles, especially for this moment. Have you made the connection that worship includes the act of giving? When we worship, we offer something of value to the one we worship. When we worship Jesus, we start by offering our lives to him, our bodies to him. That's what Stephen spoke about last week, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. The Bible says that is our expected form of worship in Romans 12:1. When we worship Jesus, we are to present a gift to him. We begin by giving ourselves to him. But it also means giving a gift to him through our church, our tithes, our offerings that we bring. Worship and giving go hand in hand. So maybe the highlight was presenting their gifts to Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. By the way, in those days, you would never approach a king unless you brought a gift. Commentators are very impressed by the foreshadowing of the gifts that the Magi brought. Gold, the most precious of all metals. That was a perfect gift for a king, and it was quite often the gift for the king. Frankincense, a perfect gift for a priest. In hindsight, we know that's exactly what Jesus was, a priest. The word priest literally means bridge builder. Jesus was the one who came and built a bridge so that we could have a relationship with God the Father. The final gift, myrrh. It's what they used in embalming bodies. It was another expensive gift, but we probably see that as rather odd. Why would you bring a gift to the baby that is going to be used at a time of death? It's a gift that's only good when someone dies. Again, looking back, we know that's exactly what Jesus came to do. He came to pay for our sin by dying on a cross. Each of those gifts had special meaning. The time we officially celebrate Jesus' birth is past. We put up the Christmas china. We store away the Christmas tree. We take down the lights. And we pack up the nativity. We place baby Jesus in a box, carefully wrapped, of course, but still we put him in a box. I know we don't mean anything by that, but sometimes I'm afraid that that's what we do with our lives with Jesus. We try to put Jesus away and we put him into a box, or at least we put him into a segment of our lives that we just want him to stay in that one particular segment of our life and not infiltrate all of who we are. What does Jesus really desire from us? Well, the Magi story concludes in verse 12. At the end it says, the Magi left for their own country by another way. They had come to worship Jesus and they were changed. And they went home a different way. What Jesus really wants from us is to be changed and to live lives that reflect that change. Others should be able to see the change in our lives. We've moved into 2015. 2014 is no longer available to us except in our memories and our written documents. But if we're not careful, we will live 2015 in the exact same way that we lived 2014 unless we do some things intentionally different. Jesus desires that we choose a new path, a new way. You know, Jesus didn't just come so that we'd have something to celebrate or do each December. He came to bring us life, and that life to the fullest. He came to give us a way to have a relationship with God the Father. You know, when you're driving a car, you ultimately decide where you're going and which way you're going. Now, Google Maps may give you a route, but you still make the choice. Same thing here with your walk with the Lord. You get to make the choice. You can go a different route in 2015. And as Ruby and I experienced in 2014, sometimes, well, quite often, that change in route is good for you. What God has, He has something new for you. So what are some of those options for us to go home by a new way in 2015? Well, as a church family, we're going to be looking at our discipleship journey over these first few months of 2015. Next Sunday evening at 5:30, if you're interested in going the different way in 2015, I invite you to come to this meeting in the Fellowship Center. We're going to present three options to you for discipleship. We're calling them Discipleship 101, or Christianity 101, Christianity 201, and Christianity 301. You can kind of see those in your worship guide if you read that. Christianity 101 is sort of like new Christian training. It's the basics. How to have a quiet time. Are you sure you're saved? What does a new Christian do? Christianity 101 is going to be one of the choices available to you. Christianity 201 is going a little deeper. We're going to be studying the Experiencing God book. That's a Bible study that came out about 15 to 20 years ago. It is an excellent Bible study about learning the will of God, how you know God's voice, and then responding to God. If you've never taken Experiencing God, then we're going to ask folks to get in a small group and take Experiencing God, because it's a wonderful Bible study that every Christ follower needs to take. Then for those of you that have already done that, we're going to be offering Christianity 301, and that is going to be studying a book called Real Life Discipleship Training. The emphasis of that particular study is not just becoming a disciple of Jesus. We're supposed to become a disciple of Jesus, but that's not what He told us to do. He told us we are to go and make disciples. So Christianity 301 is going to be a class where you learn how to be an intentional disciple maker. And you'll learn more about all of these next week at our meeting if you choose to attend. That's a way to go home by a new way, come into 2015 by saying, I'm going to do what Jesus intentionally told us to do in 2015. Be a disciple, make disciples. You know, some of us, and maybe some people in this room, have gone through the motions of celebrating Jesus' birth, maybe even for several years, and yet you've never experienced His new birth. You know, everyone who experienced Jesus' birth at that first Christmas, they were changed. Mary and Joseph were changed. The shepherds were changed. The wise men, they were changed. And in the same way, everyone who experiences Jesus' new birth is changed. Maybe that's why you're here today. God set a divine appointment with you to be here at this time in this place. You see, there are several people who I say miss Jesus by 12 inches. They miss Jesus by 12 inches. That's approximately the distance from your head to your heart, 12 inches. You know, they know a lot about Jesus. They've heard a lot about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus in their heart. You know, I use an illustration when I've talked to people. Ruby and I met in college and we dated. We've dated for a couple of years. I don't know when I fell in love with her. I did in the midst of that 2 years. I don't know what day it was that I fell in love with Ruby. But I know that on December 30th, 1983, I said I do to Ruby. And I have the ring and she has the ring to prove it. I said yes to Jesus. Maybe some of you have been worshiping Christ. You've been celebrating Christmas, but you've never said yes to Jesus. That would be a wonderful way to go a new way home in 2015. Give your life to Jesus. That would be a wonderful thing for you to do today. Some of you, maybe 2015 going a new way means joining this church. You've been coming for quite some time, but you've never officially joined. Or maybe today is your very first day here. And now you're ready. You're like, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to walk a new way with Jesus. That's why you brought me here. And you want to come and you want to join this body of believers. You're going to be able to do that today after we pray. Or maybe you just need somebody to pray with today. You have major decisions that are going on in your life. Maybe it's a loss of a job. You're looking for a new one. Maybe it's the loss of a child or a loss of a spouse, and you're just hurting, and you'd like somebody to pray with. Today's invitation is going to be a little different. I'm going to have several deacons and staff members up here, and if you would just like to pray while we sing, then you're welcome to do that. We'll just pray with you. Whatever the need is, you tell us what you'd like us to pray with you about, we'll do that. Whatever God is calling you to do, you do that today. Go into 2015 a new way. Come and join me. Come and walk this aisle. We'll talk with you. We'll do that after we pray. Will you pray together with me? Father, thank you. Again, as I prayed earlier, thank you for giving us an opportunity to start fresh with you. It's the first Sunday of 2015. We're making resolutions in a lot of other areas of our lives, and you've laid this sermon on my heart that you want us to do some things intentionally different in 2015 as a church family and as individual Christ followers here at First Baptist Church. Father, you're laying on our heart, you know, whether we need to join this church family, maybe we need to give our heart to you for the very first time. Father, if you're calling us to do that, then help us, give us the courage to step out of the aisles and come walk forward today and do that. Father, whatever you're calling us to do, we want to be obedient to you. We came to worship you this morning. We realize we're supposed to bring a gift. You're our King. So the first gift is our life, and the other gifts are our tithes and offerings. Father, thank you for bringing us here today. And thank you for bringing a change and showing us a new route for 2015. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand together. And you either sing with us as the choir as we sing, or with the Kelvin as we sing. Or you pray where you are. Or you walk down the aisle to make the change that God has asked you to do.